RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo approves the establishment of Health Fund Foundation. Minister Sri Mulyani affirms Indonesia to become world's seventh largest economy. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo stated that he has approved the establishment of Health Fund Foundation that will deal with the health and the guidance for outstanding athletes. This was stated by Minister of Youth and Sport Iman Nahrawi at the State Palace in Jakarta. He also said that the establishment of the foundation is needed because the allocation of the state budget for the bonuses for the outstanding athlete is not as huge as expected. Minister Iman Nahrawi added that in regard to the sources of the funds for the foundation, it should be considered and can be derived from corporate social responsibilities, CSR, and donors. He further said that the foundation will be managed well, transparently, and accountably. All stakeholders, especially the general public, must control the disbursement of the foundation's funds. Minister Iman Nahrawi also pointed out that President Joko Widodo has responded to the plan and asked him to study the legal standpoint. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati foresees Indonesia becoming the world's seventh largest economy by 2030. However, she noted that the opportunity could only be exploited should the government be able to effectively manage the national economy. According to Minister Sri, the opportunity to become a global economic power is wide open as Indonesia has wealth of resources. Because Indonesia has a significant demographic bonus, compared to China, the world's second largest economy, Indonesian population could contribute more to global economy. Therefore, she affirmed that the government should prioritize its work on improving policy planning. Minister Sri also said that the fact that Indonesia has the opportunity to become one of the world's largest economy does not necessarily mean that it would be achieved easily. PT Bharata Indonesia exported railway component to the USA and Mexico on Wednesday, August 24, 2016. The export is meant to fulfill the long-term contracts done by the company whose central office is located in Gresik, East Java, and Standard Card Trade Company whose central office is in Illinois, USA. Managing Director PT Indonesia Bharata Shilmi Kalim in his press release on Tuesday stated that in the future exports should be increased. One of them is by rehabilitating and improving the production capacity of the factory of PT Bharata Indonesia. The company said that its site is at the final stage to realize investment planning that is needed to pivotize the factory of PT Bharata Indonesia to be ready to support export and programs being promoted by the government, such as power generation infrastructure and infrastructure port logistics. House of Representatives Commission 3 Operation Legal Affairs has backed the government's draft revision of the criminal code that retains article banning communication, saying that the regulation is important to protect national ideology, Pancasila. Commission 3 member Teguh Taufikul Hadi said the article 219 of the criminal code, which stipulates that anyone who goes against the law by promoting communication can be sentenced to maximum of 7 years in prison, did not go too far in the effort to defend Pancasila from ideology that could threaten it. Article 220 and 221 of the criminal code further stipulate 10 years in prison for anyone who uses communication as an organization ideology and anyone who tries to replace national ideology Pancasila. Such punishment was normal topic Rahman claimed, since it considered the balance between citizens' rights in other articles and citizen responsibility in these articles. Indonesian embassy in Kuala Lumpur cooperates with Bank National Indonesia BNI to repatriate 29 Indonesian migrant workers and 4 children to their places of origin on Tuesday, August 25th. Indonesian ambassador to Malaysia Herman Prayitno when gave a briefing hopes that the workers who are repatriated will come back to the country with skill to maintain their life in the future.
Kami sebagai citizen service ya, KBRI Kuala Lumpur tetap berkomitmen akan selalu
we have commitment to serve and help the troubled migrant workers in order they go back home with dignity so they do not have to work in Malaysia.
Agar mereka apabila harus pulang, pulang dengan bermartabat dan nanti tidak perlu lagi bekerja di Malaysia.
Meanwhile, according to data received by RRI from 29 Indonesian migrant workers, 19 people would be repatriated because they did not enjoy working there. 4 other people are sick, 3 people have immigration problems, and 3 others are also repatriated because they did not earn salary and job termination. The total number to have contributed to the troubled migrant workers who had been returned to their hometown by the Indonesian embassy in Kuala Lumpur during 2016 reaches 631 people. The last item, the weakening global crude oil prices as well as the continuously appreciating U.S. dollar ahead of the upcoming meeting for the Federal Reserve Bank of America, has made it difficult for the rupiah to gain a momentum for an uptrend. Head of Research for NH Corindo Securities, Reza Priyambara, said that the rupiah's depreciation will continue towards the end of the week, as the United States gears up to release its crucial economic performance figures, which includes the U.S. gross domestic product GDP for the second quarter 2016 that will serve as an indicator of whether the Fed should raise its federal fund rate. Reza said through a written statement received by Tempo on Tuesday, the rupiah is expected to experience some degree of downtrend, that there is a prevailing negative trend of the crude oil prices. Reza also forecast the rupiah should be expected to hover between a support level 13,257 rupiah against the greenback, a resistance level of 30,210 rupiah per US dollar. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary to the entitled Reaching Achievement for Friendship Through Olympics. In Jakarta yesterday, Indonesia Minister of Youth and Sport held a procession reception for Indonesian athletes who participated in the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The activity that ended a meeting with Indonesian President Joko Widodo was an expression of joy and gratitude of the Indonesian nation to those who have succeeded in taking part in the international sport event, which is held once in 4 years. The Indonesian continent consisted of 28 athletes. Tantowi Ahmad and Liliana Nasir grabbed gold medal in badminton. Meanwhile, Eko Yuli Irawan and Sri Wahyu presented silver medal respectively in weightlifting. Besides being respected, the medalists, especially gold ones, received a lot of bonus. What they receive is something natural because their achievement is not something instant. What is now gained by them has been through a long process, mental and physical test. Finally, they are successful to bring the Olympics medals, which make Indonesia proud of. The achievement of medals from the Brazilian Olympics shows that Indonesia is able to maintain the capability and competitiveness to the sport of badminton and weightlifting. According to the record, the best medal won by Indonesia was from archery, namely silver medal at the Seoul Olympics in 1988. What happens to the branch of archery? Or the question is, when will Indonesia be winner of other sports? Certainly, the competition among the participating countries in the field of sport is much tighter from year to year. For developed countries, the sport depends not only on the responsibility of the state concerned, but also on the broader dimension. Sport has become an industry that involves many parties. This is believed to be one of the factors determining their maximum achievement in sport. To promote a sport world, Indonesia is facing a situation that may not be as smooth as the developed countries. In addition, Indonesia has a lot of homework in other fields. It needs efficiency and effectiveness in the use of existing resources, so that there must be necessary priorities. In other words, to be the same as Australia, which is included in the list of 10 country medalists at the Olympic Games this year, is still relatively long away for Indonesia. Besides, something to be kept in mind by all countries is that what the purpose of convening the Olympic is, or what kind of games and sport competition are in the agenda. The answer lies in the Olympic symbol. Five interlocking rings symbolizes the five continents, while five colors represent the elements of existing color on the floor of every country. This means that everything is propensive to togetherness and solidarity. Citing the Olympic credo is not to win or to lose, but to participate and compete well. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to see you again in our regular program Today in History. We begin today's edition with an event on August 25, 1941, when Allied troops occupied Iran. On August 25, 1941, in World War II, Allied troops occupied Iran. At the time, rapid penetration of Nazi soldiers towards the Soviet caused great concern on the part of the Allies, which comprised of the USA, France, and UK. Because if Nazi was successful to conquer Soviet, Western interests in the Middle East and the Far East were in danger, and chance of a German victory would be even greater. Therefore, the alleged troops decided to send weapons and funds to Soviet to Iran. In August 25, 1941, Iran was attacked through land, sea, and air by soldiers of Soviet and UK. Pro-Germany regime Shah Reza Khan, who ruled at the time, could not make significant resistance, so that 20 days later, Tehran was in hands of British and Soviet. Based on London and Moscow deal, Shah Reza Khan was dismissed and thrown to overseas. The son of Reza Khan later replaced him. We move on August 25, 1950, when People Healthy Housing Congress was held in Bandung. On August 25th to 30th, 1950, People Healthy Housing Congress was held in Bandung, West Java. The Congress was attended by the participants from 63 districts and municipalities, 4 provinces, representatives from the Department of Public Works, Employee of Youth Organization, and the Patient Union and Governing Party of Indonesia Raya or Perindra, and individual figures. The Congress discussed about some problems such as housing finance, a review of regulation on establishing home office and housing land supply problem. The Congress on August 25, 1950 was deemed as part of National Housing Development History of Indonesia. Until the National Housing State Minister on August 6, 2008 issued a decision number 46-2008, which declared August 25 as a National Housing Day. Listener, we end Today in History with an event on 25th August 2012 when Neil Armstrong, American astronaut, passed away. Neil Alden Armstrong was an astronaut, pilot, flight technician, and U.S. Navy aviator. Before being astronauts, Armstrong was U.S. Navy officer and has served in South Korea. His space flight was Gemini 8 NASA mission in 1966, on which at the time he became the command pilot and became the first U.S. national in space. In this mission, he did face two manned spacecraft along with the pilot David Scott. The second and last space flight was the mission of Commander Armstrong in the Apollo 11 landing on the moon in July 1969. In this mission, Armstrong and Bruce Aldrin got off and walked on the moon's surface and spent 2.5 hours exploring the moon. Meanwhile, Michael Collins staged the orbit within command module. Armstrong, along with Collins and Aldrin, was awarded a Presidential Freedom Medal by President Richard Nixon as an honor medal of Congress Prize by Jimmy Carter in 1978 and Congress Gold Medal in 2009. On August 25, 2012, Armstrong passed away in Cincinnati, Ohio, when he was 82 years old. Listener, that was all today in History Front at the Rural Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listeners, see you again with me, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Focus. The theme of today's Focus is that facing ASEAN Economic Community, the presence of herb as a cultural heritage must be preserved. Stay tuned in www.poi.co.id. A cultural observer, Arswendo Atmowiloto, said that in facing the competition in ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, there must be a quantum leap by the lovers of traditional herbal medicine to maintain the distinctiveness and the existence of herbal medicine as a cultural heritage of Indonesia. In a press conference on Herb Community Sentra Jamu Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday, Arswendo affirmed that efforts to maintain the traditional herbal drinks must be studied, being managed and patented now, before any other countries claim the copyright of the herbs. He feels that until today, there are many cultural heritages that had been claimed by other countries such as batik and a number of other cultural heritages. Indonesia should learn from the experience. Meanwhile, Chairman and Initiator of Indonesia Jamu Sentra Foundation, Sofian Hidayah, said, entering the ASEAN Economic Community AEC, Sentra Jamu Indonesia develops the herbal presence in Indonesia through various fields such as research, standardization, development, and particularly direct usefulness to community. He added that Sentra Jamu Indonesia inaugurated on Wednesday its initiative as a community of herb lovers who developed medical herbs and cultural heritage of the ancestors. He also pointed out that there are two issues faced today. First is that herbs are facing challenges of the development of modern era, and the second is that how the herb is socialized to the people, so people feel engaged and have a sense of belonging on herbal medicine. Thus, Sentra Jamu Indonesia will build a cafe concept. Sofian also said that the concept is not so difficult. By having enough space and a table, someone is able to open a jamu cafe. So the name is only Jamu Cafe to sound luxury. As a result, Indonesian herbs are well known and well thought of. In addition, Sofian said that now a lot of people from different areas are ready to become a pioneer to raise Indonesian herbal medicine as a product that is not claimed by other countries, both neighboring states and other countries. The chairman of Indonesian Jamu Sentra Foundation, Sofian, also proposed to the government to immediately establish the National Herb Day or Indonesian Jamu Day. He views that with the enactment of the National Herb Day, Indonesia can also be proud to introduce to the world of Indonesian herbal medicine. Of course, this will boost the dignity of herbal medicine. Listener, that was Focus today. Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo stated that he has approved the establishment of Health Fund Foundation that will deal with the health and guidance for the outstanding athletes. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati foresees Indonesia becoming the world's seventh largest economy by 2030. However, she noted that the opportunity could only be exploited should the government be able to effectively manage the national economy. PT Bharata Indonesia exported railway component to the USA and Mexico on Wednesday. The export is meant to fulfill the long-term contracts signed by the company whose central office is located in Crescent City, East Java, and Standard Chartered Company whose central office is in Illinois, USA. House of Representatives Commission 3% of the Legal Affairs has backed the government's draft revision of the criminal code that retains articles banning communism, saying that the regulation is important to protect national ideology, Pancasila. Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur cooperates with with the Bank National Indonesia BNI to repatriate 29 Indonesian migrant workers and 4 children to their places of origin on Tuesday, August 2013. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Herman Prayitno when gave a brief in hopes that the workers who are repatriated will come back to the country with skill to maintain their life in the future. The weakening global crude oil prices as well as the continuously appreciating U.S. dollar ahead of the upcoming meeting for the Federal Reserve Bank of America has made it difficult for rupiah to gain a momentum for an uptrend. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you traveling to Jakarta. So stay tuned. As the capital of the Republic of Indonesia, Jakarta offers everything for anyone coming to the metropolitan city, Jakarta. Jakarta is actually offering every opportunity for those who want to work, doing business or vacation. For those who want to enjoy vacation, Jakarta has a lot of interesting places to be visited. Although surrounded by concretes, Jakarta has many beautiful natural tourism sites, especially maritime tourism, because in northern part of Jakarta, there are a cluster of small islands known as the Pulau Seribu or Thousand Islands. One of the beautiful islands of the Thousand Island, namely Bulat Island. Listener, Pulau Bulat or Bulat Island is one of the small islands in the Pulau Seribu or Thousand Islands, Jakarta. The island has a beach with white sand stretched widely. You can reach this island from Muara Angke Port, North Jakarta, aboard the Pulau Harapan to the pier. From Pulau Harapan, you can move on to Pulau Bulat by chartered vessel. The travel time from Pulau Harapan to the Thousand Island is approximately 20 minutes. Approaching the island, you will pass through the ship's entrance gate, flanked by two beautiful wall fences. Furthermore, you also will be greeted at the dock gates of ivory bone shape and several sides of the island, which is surrounded by coral reefs. When you arrive on the beach, you will be amazed by the natural beauty of Pulau Bulat. The beaches have fine white sand. The seawater is clear, so you can see the beauty of the underwater with naked eyes. Among the coral reefs, there are still found starfish and beautiful colorful shells. The wave is not too high, since the beach completely surrounded by rocks that can break the waves, so it is quite safe for those who want to swim there. After swimming, you can sunbathe or play in the white sand. To watch the sunset from the beach in Bulat Island is no less beautiful than other beaches around the Southern Island. So prepare your cameras, because there are many views around the island that you can capture through photographs. Listener, as the name implies, the island is only 1.28 hectares and is located in Pulau Harapan sub-district. Pulau Bulat was owned by former Indonesian President Suharto. Although the island is privately owned, tourists can travel to the island, just has to ask permission to guard the island. Unfortunately, you cannot stay overnight because there is no available accommodation on the island. However, you do not have to bother to bring their own foods, because there are available restaurants that serve many kinds of foods and culinaries. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pulau Bulat, or Bulat Island. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's segment, I'm going to give you an information about Indonesia becomes the host for Pata Travel Mart 2016. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia becomes the host of organizing exhibitions and international tourism market of PATA, Pacific Asia Travel Association, March 2016, that will be held in ICE, Indonesia Convention Exhibition, Bumi Serpong Damai, Banten Province in next September 7th until 10th. As a host of PATA Travel Mart, Indonesia is going to get a direct impact of tourism economy with the arrival of foreign delegations, as well as the big indirect impact such as the increase of news values and the world's trust towards Indonesian tourism. As the preparation for PATA Travel Mart 2016, the government has prepared 11 hotels and 1,200 rooms for foreign guests. It takes the access of 10 until 20 minutes to go to the location of exhibition in the Indonesia Convention Exhibition. Listener, the implementation of the biggest tourism event in Asia-Pacific region will be attended by around 1,000 delegations from 60 countries and hundreds by newspapers and electronic medias, both in the country and abroad. Besides of having a business in business, or B2B exhibition, the delegations will also be invited to see some tourism attractions around Banten and Jakarta in farm trip program. Moreover, there will be a seminar about travel blogger and hotel investment and other sporting activities. For Indonesia, the organizing of PATA Travel Mart 2016 event could be very excellent. In addition, to be demanded as the host country, Indonesia would get those four awards consist of four categories. Firstly, primary government destination category, namely total solar eclipse in March 2016. Secondly, Rumah Budaya Osing or Osing Cultural House as the heritage and cultural category. Thirdly, travel journalism category for travel photography taken by Handi Laksono with the title Journey of Wonder. And the last category is travel journalism in industry business article wrote by Wiwi Hudoyo. Listener, the Pacific Asia Travel Association or PATA is an international non-profit association that engages in travel bureau and tourism field. PATA actually holds the trade event in September annually called PATA Travel Mart. PATA Travel Mart is a leading event from PATA and one of the popular trade events in Asia-Pacific region. PATA Travel Mart has a dynamic program for the needs of participants and provide an international platform for showing all the products and services of travel and tourism industry in the Asia-Pacific region. PATA Travel Mart has combined hundreds of international buyers and sellers in one market. This year, Indonesia becomes the host country of the 39th PATA Travel Mart. Listeners, that was miscellany for today with a topic about Indonesia hosted the PATA Travel Mart 2016. We'll see you again with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner. For today's edition, we are going to give you a song entitled Apa Yang Kau Cari from a popular singer in 80s era, namely Endang Estaurina.
Sunyi yang ku alami.
Listener, as we know, Indonesia's diplomatic relationship with a number of countries in the world has tied well. It is because the interests of each country in various fields such as economy, social, politic, and security as well as culture, such with the neighboring country Malaysia. The relationship between Indonesia and Malaysia is not only limited in the economic field but also art and culture. It was seen from the attention of Malaysian people towards Indonesian pop songs. Cassettes and CDs of Indonesian songs were sold out in Malaysian music market. Most of Indonesian artists often held the shows in the country. Endang Estaurina is one of Indonesian pop singers whose her songs mostly liked so much by Malaysian people. The era of the 80s was Endang Estaurina's heyday, not only in Indonesia but also in Malaysia, Brunei, and Singapore. Well, listener, now we'll dedicate to you another song entitled Hujan Datang Lagi by Endang Estaurina.
Hujan telah datang lagi, dingin-dingin menyiksa diri, bantal dan guling sebagai saksi. Sudahlah dingin daku sendiri, kupanggil kau tak menyang, akan menjerit tak sanggup lagi, aku pun menangis lagi. Hujan membuka cerita lama, mengusap payung kita berdua, bermesraan di tengah hujan. Hujannya kini daku sendiri, rindu makin menyengat, pantau dan ku makin ku dekat, dan ku peluk erat. Semakin dingin semakin
The song Hujan Datang Lagi tells about the loneliness when the rain fell, and Nangestaurina dedicated the song like really experienced so far. The singer then popular by supporting the talented musician Rinto Harahap. She has played a number of soap operas before leaving the entertainment world. Listener, we end our today's segment of Music Corner with another song of Nangestaurina entitled Antara Benci dan Rindu. See you and sampai jumpa. Bila ingat kau sakit di hati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.